The Guardian. Hello, I'm Rosie Swash, and this is Music Weekly from The Guardian. Coming up on today's show, R&B girl Khalees tells us about new album Fleshtone and explains how a cookery course inspired her return to music.
The music business had just sort of sucked the life out of me, and I was just over it. It was boring. I was bored. And I'm like, when making music becomes boring, you shouldn't do it anymore.
Singles Club features Beyoncé, J. Paul and Slaybells, and Brighton's soul ninja Andrea Triana drops in for a chat and to play an exclusive live track.
I've had some stuff out recently with a great guy called Bonobo, who produced my album. Also worked with a kind of glitchy hip-hopper called Flying Lotus.
That's all in Music Week. Well, Alexis is away on holiday, so I'm driving the bus for a couple of weeks, if that's okay. But to help me out, Kitty Empire from The Observer is back with us.
Hello.
You survived a near fatal earphones incident on the way up to,
I
to King's Cross.
I got tangled up in a stranger. My headphones got caught in his rucksack, and it was touch and go whether I got off.
But you're here in one piece, which you're glad to see. And making a long overdue appearance, it's Malik Mir, editor of The Guide.
Hello.
Well, I've just been extracting compliments from you for my DJ set at Tim Jones's wedding on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought you were on early. I thought you got the crowd going.
Oh, and, I cleared the dance floor.
No. It's, I mean, when you go on first, you sort of have to, you were just warming up for me.
Yeah.
Rosie.
Well, your set was very good. I nearly broke my ankle running to the dance floor in time for Pulp. I don't know if you noticed that, my slick moves.
I didn't notice that.
All right, let's move on to our first interview. Fleshtone is a fifth studio album from Harlem R&B singer Khalees. The new album sees her move towards a more electronic, dance floor friendly record and has production credits from big Eurodance cheese David Guetta, as well as Boys Noize and DJ Ammo. It's also her first record since divorcing rapper Nas and giving birth to her son. I caught up with Khalees earlier to talk about the new record and her various life changes which inspired it. But first, let's hear a track from the album. This is 22nd Century. Things that I like about the record is, aside from the dance element, is it feels like a massively positive album. Do you think part of that is, you know, it feels like the music industry or the media in general are very focused on youth, especially women. You know, you grow up to believe that everything important or significant or interesting happens in your teens or early 20s. And as someone who is now in her late 20s, I feel like that's not true at all.
Oh, it's completely false. I mean, it's offensive how false it is. Like, it could not be more opposite. What's funny is that, like, all my girlfriends are kind of, like, you know, 30, we're 29, 30, 31 to, like, 36. We're all kind of, like, you know, in that age group. It's crazy because everyone's like, oh my God, like, why didn't anyone, this is ridiculous. I feel so good. I'm like, I mean, it's nuts. The funny thing for me, though, is that, like, I have three sisters. And, you know, so I grew up with all women. And my mom, literally, I can't tell you how often she would tell us, like, the 30s were the best time of my life. And, you know, the 30s and 40s, she's like, I just felt the most beautiful, the sexiest, the smartest. I was just the most in control and content in my life, you know. So, I mean, ever since I can remember, like, I was like, can't wait to get to my 30s. Like, gotta get to my 30s. Like, it's gonna be awesome. 29 was such a setup for me. It was so, like, so many things ended and started that it was like, I turned 30 and it was like, oh my God, I feel amazing.
And that is what I hear on the album.
That's exactly how I felt. The year before that, I went to culinary school, which was so important for me. You know, and a lot of people, they don't really, it's like, they're like, oh, you went to, I really, it was important because prior to going to school, I was done. The music business had just sort of sucked the life out of me, and I was just over it. It was boring. I was bored. And I'm like, when making music becomes boring, you shouldn't do it anymore. So for me, after Khalees was here, you know, my last record, I really was just like, I'm not having fun anymore. You know, and it had taken me so long to get off of my label. When they finally gave me my release, I was just like, I have nothing to do. I'm like, I'm not, okay, I'm an artist who's been signed since I was 17 years old. I'm not signed now. God, okay, well, what do? And I was like, I want to go to culinary school. Forget the fact that, like, I love to cook and blah, 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 all of that, you know, is the obvious stuff. It was so important for the, like, rebuilding of my spirit. It was so amazing to, number one, to have to answer to someone, especially for someone like me, because I don't answer to anybody, you know, like, ever. To be in school again and to be learning again and just, it sounds like such a small thing, but it was so crucial and so important. And then, oh my God, I actually really love something else. Because you forget, you know, like, my whole life is music 24 hours a day, constantly, and it's like, just everything is geared towards that, you know, everything is about being famous, and everything is about people's perception and making music. It's just all of this it's all of that all the time. You forget that you can actually do something else. I think it was only that actually got me to the point where I was like, I can make music again. That's, I think, when, after I went to school and I started writing again, and then I got pregnant and, you know, I filed for divorce and I signed a deal, and it was just like, it was all these decisions and choices that I was making. And I made a decision to be happy, and I made a decision to take control of my life. Once I recorded the record too, it was just like, I don't know how people are going to take this, but I feel so good about it, I don't even care.
I felt like it was your way of saying, look at all these sides to me that aren't about being, but a different part of being a woman. So the fact that the biggest love song on the album is about your son, I just thought was amazing, because it was such an expression of womanhood that had nothing to do with a man.
I had been recording and I'd been writing, but I knew when I finally wrote that record that was the record. I was like, this is the song, because this is exactly what I need to say right now. It's funny, I think I was extremely pregnant and someone said something to me and it was so obnoxious, and I was like, you know what's funny? I was like, and granted, half of the, you know, world's population has done what I'm doing right now. It was a man that had said something to me, and I was like, do you realize that there's not one thing in your entire life that you will ever do that will ever be as important and good as what I'm doing right at this very second? Not one thing. You could win the Nobel fucking prize. It would not matter. It would never measure up to this. Like, there's life happening right here, and it's not even me. Like, I can't even do it. I couldn't even tell you how to like chemically make a baby. But somehow, the way that the world works and the way that God has orchestrated everything, I am able to create life. And it is so amazing and so validating, and it's like, there's a sea of women that can relate to this, and you can't. So I don't care about anything you have to say. I'm like, you are completely irrelevant to this process right now. Like, I don't care.
I was reading an interview that you did with The Guardian, like a Q&A, and the interviewer, who is a woman, asked you if you were a feminist, and you said you didn't feel comfortable with what the word feminism meant. But to me, everything about what you've said in this interview, and everything that I get from your career, which is that you do exactly what you want, would just sum up feminism to me. So I just wondered how you felt about it now.
You know, no one walks around calling me like a black activist, but I, for all intents and purposes, I guess I am. You know, as much as I am a feminist, or I'm a woman, and I think like one. And I don't feel unequal, and I'm extremely capable, and I'm very efficient, and I can do anything that's set before me. And so if that's what equates, am I a feminist? I mean, then okay, sure. But I'm a human being, and I happen to be a woman, and I'm a very capable woman. So, you know what I mean? It's like, there's a word for a strong female, or for a woman who does whatever she wants to do, but what's the word for a man who is the exact same thing? Oh, that's right, he's called a leader, or he's a man. That's what he's supposed to be. I don't understand, and I guess that's my issue with the word feminism, because it's just like, there's like a very underlying, hidden negative connotation about it. I'm like, you know, I shave my armpits, and like, I do wear a bra when I feel like it. I'm a woman, and I'm sexy, and that's how God made me. And actually, if you are aware of that, that's where you get your strength and power from. I find that I get a lot more in my meetings when I'm as female as I can be, because I'm a woman, and that's where my strength comes from. I'm not strong when I'm trying to be like a man. That's not strong. I'm not strong when I'm like less made up or less girly. That's like, that's confused. You know, I think women need to sort of take control of it and embrace that and understand that, like, when you are most what you are, that is what feminism is. That is what strength is. When you are sexy, however you do that, that is strength.
That was Khalees there, talking about many things, some of which was her album, Flesh Tone. Malik, one of the things that critics have been saying about this album is that it's great that she's gone to dance music, but the dance music that she's doing is not necessarily that new or progressive. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's exactly the situation with it. And I feel really bad now because having listened to the interview, she sounds all lovely and she's obviously lost in psychobabble and stuff. But I mean, I sort of feel sorry for her after listening to that record. I just thought it reminded me of all those records like Rui Da Silva and...
I liked Rui Da Silva,
which was an amazing record for the time.
Yeah, and 10 years ago.
Exactly, 10 years ago. And the whole record to me feels like that. And I just thought, you know, Khalees used to be brilliant and she did all that wonky pop R&B stuff. And, you know, can we have some more of that, please?
Oh, Kitty, I read your review. You weren't as down on it as Manic was, but you detected the hand of will.i.am, which is never necessarily a compliment.
Well... I'm beginning to get very conspiracy theorist about will.i.am. He's everywhere. And David Guetta, and that's possibly the first time I've ever said David Guetta aloud, so I'm not sure whether perhaps
right.
It's David Guetta. But anyway, he did some tracks on the Black Eyed Peas record, so there's this kind of feeling that this will.i.am R&B goes dance music aesthetic is kind of being applied to Khalees rather than, and I wouldn't want remotely to suggest that Khalees is not her own woman, because clearly she is, as she's told us, but I do feel that the tracks were a bit prefab. But can I just add also that it's excellent now that we know why Khalees's milkshake brought all the boys to the yard. It was, in fact, that she was a budding cordon bleu chef rather
yes.
than the size of her knockers.
Officially now, she is a qualified saucier. That's her speciality, sauces. But my feeling about the record is slightly different. I agree, there's nothing... I agree that the dance music that she's chosen is a bit retro, and perhaps I excuse that because she doesn't necessarily come from a dance music background. So I thought, well, maybe if you were to start rifling through the back catalogue that was dance music, this might be where you came to. But I do believe that she's genuine when she's talking about stuff that about turning a corner and that it being a bit of a creative rebirth. And partly I think that's because in the time between this and her last album, you read so much about what was happening in her personal life, and it sounded really awful.
That's almost the point, though. If she'd have sort of captured some of that and put that onto a record, wouldn't it be amazing?
She has, lyrically, she has. I mean, there's a lot of very snarky, I am my own woman type lyrics, and you're never going to take me down. I think the thing that I got from her interview that perhaps I hadn't taken into account was just the positivity of dance music, which is a very kind of slightly lame thing to say, but it is also very valid, because there's nothing that feels quite as good as going slightly bananas on a dance floor when you've come out of a negative period in your life. And I think literally that's what the album's about. It's about her being quite jolly now and wanting to put her fists in the air. And quite frankly, which of us has not felt like that at some point?
But then, I sort of thought that the vocals and the lyrics, they were just quite weak. And so when she's talking about the 22nd century and she rhymes it with technology and then she throws in a science fiction, you know, and you think about all those people that have sort of looked to the pop future and come up with a lot of more interesting
yeah.
ways of sort of presenting that.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it should have been much more interesting. In fact, it should have sounded like Sleigh Bells, but we'll come to that.
Yeah, getting ahead of yourself. Well, you can make up your own mind, because Flesh Tone by Khalees is out in the shops now. Let's move on to Singles Club. As you know by now, this is the item where we each put forward a track for discussion. So first up, it's Kitty's choice. We'll be right back. That was Tell 'Em by Sleigh Bells. I like that. Kitty, that's your choice.
Well, Sleigh Bells are very happening on the internet at the moment. I like that. Well, I like that for several reasons. The bare biographical details are they are a Brooklyn duo, girl singer, boy noisemaker. They are signed to MIA's label, which is one of the reasons why everyone sort of pricked up their ears a bit. And their album is due out, I believe, on the 31st of May. And I can, if I can take the slightly opposite position and critique it and tell you why it's not good.
Yeah, okay,
well, lots of people think it's not good because it's basically the Ting Ting's gone slightly feral. And to which I say, what's wrong with that? I like it because it sounds like the Ting Ting's gone slightly feral. I mean, I think there's actually better tracks than that on the album. The intended volume at which this is supposed to be listened to is very, very loud indeed. So that was actually sort of quite reasonable pop music when we just heard that, I think. But imagine that turned up very loud live. And I think that they're trying to be obviously very aggressive with it. I'm not saying it's changing the world. It'll probably be old hat by this time tomorrow. But it's good fun, and that's why I've put it forward.
I like it. I think the whole album is actually explosive was the thing that came to mind. And you're right, it does need to be listened to at a very loud level. It's no coincidence to me that this is on a MIA's label because it feels like they've taken a lot of cues from what she's been doing. Mm. But also I was interested to know that the guitarist in the band used to be in a hardcore band, which I think actually you can hear as well. Mm. Malik, what do you think?
I really liked it as well. I mean, I never thought that sort of those sort of glam metal guitars against really sort of girly vocals would work, and they do. And they actually, I mean, I know they're a sort of internet blog buzz band, but they actually sound like an internet blog buzz band, don't they, on so many levels. And they actually deliver, so no, I really like it. The Ting Ting thing sort of ruins it, unfortunately.
I hadn't heard that until you said it.
Yeah, sorry to be a downer. You could have said the White Stripes, a duo with no bass. You know, there's a lot of, you know, early Kills minus the blues and the sleaze. You know, there's a lot of sort of duo, you know, you can pick a duo.
God, wouldn't it be amazing if Jack White actually made a record like that?
Yeah, well, that would be novel.
Rather than Dead Weather.
Yeah, that would be novel. So, you know, you can shoot it down quite easily, but I think it's... The aspect of it that I enjoy is the fun. You know, it just sounds like fun.
Well, that should be the definitive word on Sleigh Bells. That was Tell 'Em, and it's out now. And now we can hear Malik's choice. That was BTSTU by Jay Paul. I don't know what that stands for. Either I'm missing something in the song, but he doesn't spell out what that stands for.
Isn't it BTSU?
Oh, I think
there's another letter in there. I thought it was something that the young people texted to one another. I just don't know. It's one of those acronyms that, you know, it clearly means...
In which case, my mum probably knows what it is because she loves to text acronyms, much to my displeasure. Anyway, Malik, tell us why you like the song.
So it's this 21-year-old kid from Rainer's Lane, and this is actually a demo. I mean, it's sort of deceptive that what we heard... is like the middle bit to the song. And I mean, the beauty of the song is that it starts off very slow and there's like this falsetto vocal. And then you've got that menacing heavy drill and bass thing that comes in. And in a lot of ways, he is part of that Sleigh Bells MIA school of production, you know, bedroom kids making interesting music. But what I really like about it is that it's just quite restrained and it's so easy to go nuts and do that Atari Teenage Riot thing when you're sort of handed technology. And a lot of brass elements come in later on towards the song. I just think it's a really brilliant song.
It's worth pointing out as well that this is a demo for sure. Like that's on the blog link that you sent us. It was like, just bear this in mind, because for me, I just think oh my God, if the right producer got their hands on this, it could sound absolutely fantastic.
Not even necessarily the right producer. I think just, you know, a bigger studio, you know, a bigger studio than one's bedroom. You know, I agree. I know it's all going to be very lovey-lovey today because we all love each other's tracks, but that was just sensational. And I think the compression of the song. I mean, the everything is kind of in an area. I'm this isn't very good for podcasts, but I'm waving my hands in the air, showing how compressed it is. You know, and it sounds like it's just so hermetically sealed, and then there's this lovely vocal, and it's just beautifully done. So, you know, really, I imagine, I don't know, but I imagine there is some sort of rush to sign him as we speak.
I think XL have just got him.
Oh, really? Great. Well, there you go.
I mean, he's been compared to Hot Chip a bit, but that bass that you hear on that reminds me most of Witness by Roots Maneuver.
Do you know, it sounds like Prince to me.
Yeah, the vocals Prince, isn't it?
Yeah.
Prince, Hot Chip and Roots Maneuver in one. Brilliant.
Not bad.
That was BTSTU, still don't know what it stands for, by Jay Paul. It's a demo which you can hear on his MySpace page, which is myspace.com/JAIPaulMusic. And now it's time for my single. You don't even care to. That was Why Don't You Love Me by Beyoncé. It's my choice. I should say the video for this was put up on YouTube about 10 days ago, but I missed the slot in which I can pick my single for last week's pod, so I thought I've got to get it on this week. It is, you know, like another single that's been added onto I Am Sasha Fierce, which was out in 2008, but it's Beyoncé, so she can get away with it, that's fine. And I think Beyoncé's at this zenith in her career at the moment. Like, things couldn't be going better. She's just, everything she does seems to be going so well, but she also seems to be coming into her own in a way that I haven't seen, even when she left Destiny's Child. And I think this track, while not necessarily that out there, is quite an unusual one for her to do. It's almost is it Tribal House? I don't know. I don't even know how you would classify that backing track. And it's like she's decided that she can't, you know, she's done as much as she can do with the pop that she's making at the moment, and she's going to do something a little bit different. But it's also got the lyrics and the theme, which is so Beyoncé, which is just like absolute female empowerment in its crudest form. Like, I got money, I don't need you. And you just know, like, so many women are going to be nodding along to this going, yeah, yeah, that's me. And I just think she does it brilliantly. It's just really, really powerful to listen to and sweeps you up. And I hope that it, you know, heralds a period where she starts to do stuff that's slightly different and unusual, and doesn't worry too much about alienating her core fans. Kitty, you were bopping along to that one.
I was. I think this is another. It's genius. I want to disagree with you slightly. I think that since Beyoncé and Jay-Z have been a power couple, I think her music has gone downhill slightly. Mm. I think that, you know, all the single ladies, yeah, you know, that was good. It was good. Yeah. It wasn't, yeah. Whereas this, because it's so different, and there was a bit of what I thought might be a bit of blaxploitation wah-wah in there. There was all sorts going on. This is a very, like you said, a very, very different direction for her. And it's really core, you know, it's core Beyoncé, but with different bells on. And, you know, I think it works. I think it's really one of the best things she's done in a very, very long time.
Malik, did you?
No. There are two things about it that I like. I think Solange, her sister, co-wrote the song, and I really
big fans of Solange on this podcast.
Well, I just quite like the fact that they let her out the basement once again to do something. And then the second thing with it, I mean, I was listening to it, and I was thinking, yeah, this is like a funk thing going on. But then if you take that away from it, it sounds a bit baggy, and you half expect the Soup Dragons to come in. And it's like those wah-wah guitars that that you had back then?
The video.
The video.
Wow. Oh. Okay, so you've probably seen it by now, but it's like she's dressed up as a sort of 50s
housewife doing
slash
chores.
Pin-up, doing the chores, mascara, sort of running.
Stepford wife, glam, bling, Stepford wife goes mental.
Something
in
that
mansion.
Beyonce will never be.
Exactly, no, Beyonce scrubbing, I don't think so.
But if you haven't seen it, you should definitely Google Why Don't You Love Me by Beyonce. It's out now. I mean, you can buy I Am Sasha Fierce if you haven't already. Time for some posts from last week's show now. On the Matthew Herbert interview, Tyra Cias, 42, writes, "Are you sure Matthew Herbert isn't a Chris Morris joke? One pig that samples the entire life of a pig comes right from Blue Jam. I think he meant one album that samples the entire life of a pig, but we get what you're saying." Pete 4851983, on the other hand, says, "I can see how it's easy to see something as a bit pretentious when someone's approaching music from such a different starting point than we generally take as normal. But I think in Herbert's case, he's coming from an angle of audiophile curiosity as opposed to, I'm just doing my own thing, man, self-conscious attitude. Basically, you get the feeling that he'd be doing all this stuff, whether people were listening or not, just to see what it sounds like rather than to impress people in East London or whatever." Nothing wrong with East London. And on our LCD Sound System interview, Sol reckons, "The new LCD album is a corker. What shines through in each release is the NYC heritage. The post-punk stylings of ESG and Liquid, etc. And of course, you can never have enough cowbell. They're going out on a high. Keep your posts coming. Guardian.co.uk/musicweekly is the place to leave feedback, and you can come and find us on Twitter and Facebook too." Time for some new music now, and this time it's soul singer Andrea Triana. She's a musician from Brighton who signed to Ninja Tune, and Emma Warren, our go-to girl for all things on a new soul tip, is a big fan. So we sent Emma along to meet Andrea to find out more, and there'll be a live track coming up too.
So, Andrea Triana, you're a singer and songwriter. Can you give us a bit of a sense of where you come from musically?
Yes, I'd say I come like predominantly from a soul background, but there's so many other influences in there. There's sort of folk and jazz and funk and a whole kind of mixing pot of stuff that I listened to growing up and along the way.
And I guess for Guardian Music Weekly podcast listeners, this might be the first time that they've come across you.
Yeah.
What might they have heard before?
They would have heard some collaborations, probably. I've had some stuff out recently with a great guy called Bonobo, who produced my album. Also worked with a kind of glitchy hip-hopper called Flying Lotus. We did a track a good few years ago called Tea Leaf Dancers. I've also collaborated with Mr. Scruff, a great guy called Natural Self, another great friend of mine called Testament, and Kid Knievel. So I've done quite a few things over the years, all very varied, but very different to my own personal stuff. I don't know where to... When there's nothing left to hold, so I will sing you a song. And you've got your album coming out later this summer, I understand. I have.
And what can we be expecting on that?
It's got all live instrumentation, which is kind of firmly what I believe in musically. And where I come from, it's got really live lush horns and string sections and loads of harmonies, and I really love it. You know, we kind of put our heart and soul into it, so that's the album. Yeah, I really hope people like it.
Now, I read that you were a fan of making mixtapes when you were a kid. I personally think the art of making mixtapes or mixed CDs is a little bit underrated, because often it's a little bit of a sort of foundation degree for making music yourself later, and often a lot of people that go on making music in their adult lives were the kids who are messing around with cassette decks and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Why was it important for you?
It just meant that I could have all the music that I loved on one cassette tape that I could carry around wherever I was going, basically. And I used to do this thing, I used to kind of get obsessed with certain songs and learn them inside and out, and kind of at certain times I didn't really have enough money to buy the music that I wanted, so I'd record it all on radio and get so annoyed when the DJ would like talk over the track, and I'd be so happy if I kind of got most of it, like three quarters of it. Also somehow record harmonies and stuff using two cassette decks, and record something on one, play it back on the other, and then kind of record a harmony over the top. And I think I was about 8 at the time. I really don't know how I managed to kind of do that, but I did.
Actually, it's interesting because when I've seen you play live, you did this thing called the free flow sessions, which was just you, the loop station, and you kind of improvising. So, you know, creating a beat either with your hands or with the kind of noise you're making from your voice, and then looping your voice, and essentially kind of doing what you were doing when you were 8 with your cassettes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, initially I was influenced by a guy called Reggie Watts. He was the first person I saw doing that, and he was he's a comedian, and he was just sort of doing it live, beatboxing, like singing over the top and laying down harmonies, and I was absolutely blown away. At that time, I was also finishing my degree and leaving my band at the time. So I kind of had no way of getting out there and gigging or anything myself. And I just thought, I want to get one of these boxes and just do it. And I did, you know, and it was great, you know, creatively. It really just opened up my eyes and my ears to harmonies and expression and rhythms and, you know, and layering up tracks and things. And I've been using it ever since. It's been a good 4 or 5 years now. It's changed. The way that I've used it's changed. The emphasis isn't on it so much. It's more of kind of using it to enhance, sort of like for effects and a few harmonies here and there. But yeah, it's a great thing. I love it.
Brilliant. All right, then. Well, I suppose just one more question, really, and that's maybe for you to tell us what you're going to be doing for us today, because you're going to be playing us something live, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed. I'll be doing my second single, and it's called A Town Called Obsolete, and it's going to be out in July.
Thank you very much. Andrea Triana.
Thanks.
Nobody to the side of me, all quiet and alone, needing answers of the unknown, flitting between a real and a loop, a strengthening pulse of these blues, when I'm sketched out and oh so confused, I just keep calling. Just keep calling, put it down and it will come around. A hidden street, a town called obsolete. Put it down and it will come around. A hidden street, a town called obsolete. Glance out at the invisible, winding it round, keeping me so warm. Impatiently I overload, missing someone that I've never known, flitting between a real and a true. At times I'm wondering what's the use, so I ease out a righteous pursuit. I just keep calling, just keep calling, put it down and it will come around. Hidden street, a town called obsolete. Put it down and it will come around. Hidden street, a town called obsolete. Come around, a hidden street, a town called obsolete. Put it down and it will come around. A hidden street, a town called obsolete. Put it down, 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 down. Put it down, down. Put it down now. Put it down now. Put it down now. Put it down now.
That was Andrea Triana talking with Emma Warren, and the live track was A Town Called Obsolete, which is out in July. My initial feeling when listening to Andrea Triana is that British soul has just never really taken off. I mean, that's how I would classify her, and I can't think of anyone since Sade who has
Joss Stone.
Well, this is the thing, is it, but her was, would you call it soul, Joss Stone stuff? I guess it was the original stuff, wasn't it? And that anyone who does it tends to be you know, anyone who does quite well in that genre tends to be packaged off into another one. So Rough Trade have just signed an artist called Rox, who I'm sure when I first listened to her stuff on MySpace was a bit more laid back soul, and then I went back on and the whole page has been redone and it's like almost doo-wop kind of Motowny. It's kind of been pushed towards more of a VV Brown direction.
Well, after the success of BB Brown.
Sponsored yes. by Nokia BB Brown. I don't know, so do you am I being too down on it, Kitty?
Ah, you've come to me with that question. Well, as we were talking there, I was literally racking my brain thinking, okay, British soul that is new and good, and it's... I'm sure it's out there,
yeah.
But it's not in my Rolodex, you know, my kind of mental Rolodex. So can we just say how good that last Sade album was?
Yes, we can.
Good.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be done. It was very good. I mean, I think the thing with Andrea Triana is she's obviously got a lovely voice and she knows what she's doing. And, you know, there is an absolutely... a massive world out there for that kind of music, but I do think she isn't particularly ear-catching or eye-catching, not in the sense of physically pretty or not pretty, because I've no idea, but the you know, that there's nothing arresting about her. And I think at the moment we're going through, I mean, this is probably always true, but at the moment we are going through a particular phase of kind of shock tactic visuals, shock tactic sonics, and that kind of very laid-back soul is probably anathema to all that kind of turquoise hair and, you know, that sort of, you know, that sort of approach to marketing your music. So there's probably soul fans out there going, oh, at last, somebody who's, you know, calm and cool and collected. And I think the market at the moment is very much, well, how brash and brassy can we be?
And she does, in that respect, when you compare her to, you know, we are going through a phase where being a solo female artist seems to be very, very popular and almost certainly get you signed more so than if you're a guitar band or something like that. But compare her to the kind of female singers that are doing well at the moment, and it just feels like maybe, you know, maybe there isn't a market for it.
Well, no, but then I think like on her MySpace, there's a Flying Lotus remix of one of her tracks, and that's when I thought, actually... that's where it gets interesting and it sounds really good now. If you put a darker background on it, I think there's more potential there. And without sounding like a sort of idiot hipster, I mean, if you'd have given...
You've got a Flying Lotus remix, that must be good.
But I mean, I sort of think the same with her, her and even with Khalees, if you'd have got people like Sleigh Bells and Flying Lotus and all those people and... you know, then paired them up, you'd have had more interesting sort of musical fruits.
All right, fair enough. Lost Where I Belong by Andrea Triana is released on August 23rd on Ninja Tune. Well, that's all for this week's show. My thanks to Malik Mir for coming in. Did you enjoy it? Will you be back?
Yes, please.
And my thanks to Kitty Empire of The Observer. What are you reviewing next? What's next on your...
There's quite a lot of good stuff coming up on the start of June, actually. Very excited about the... what am I excited about? The Christina Aguilera album.
You like?
Some of.
Oh, maybe we should talk about that.
Well, there's plenty to say.
Yes.
There's plenty to say.
There is plenty to say. Well, we'll talk about that at some point. My thanks to producer Pete. I'm Rosie Swash, and I'll be back in the hot seat next week. I hope you'll join me there.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.